This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra, myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Today, we're going to be discussing a quite sensational night in New York as Ryan Garcia produced a stunning performance to defeat Devin Haney, causing, I think, one of the biggest upsets of the year. We're going to reflect on the fight in detail and ask where it leaves both fighters and ask where Garcia now sits as one of the biggest stars in the sport. Arguably, though, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, Terence Crawford, looks set for a return to the ring. It has been widely reported that he is going to step up and challenge Israel Magomedov, but he's 154 pounds strapped. And we're going to discuss the most influential man in the sport currently, His Excellency Turki Alşaik, after he fielded questions from boxing fans online about his plans for the sport over the next couple of years. Loads to squeeze into the next hour, so let's do it. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Got to be behind on the cards, but he's floored Haney down for the second time in the fight, and Haney can't take the power of Garcia.
The last thing you should worry about is a kid acting crazy on the internet, and I out there put that my reputation on the line, had everybody thinking I was crazy. At the end of the day, he's the crazy one now. Y'all was tripping, not me. You guys were tripping. I was the one that was actually with sanity.
This could be it. He looks about to go, and the referee stopped it. The fight's all over. But Crawford has created history. Unified world welterweight champion. And tonight, he was quite brilliant.
Mr. Gareth A. Davis.
Yes, sir.
Here we are. Here we are again. So let's start the show as we always do. What have you been doing for the week?
Well, I watched you in the broadcast on Sunday morning in Dubai from the airport. I was there in Dubai for 4 days doing Crypto Fight Night, which was a lot of fun. I interviewed Frank Gilfeather, Frank's Noble Art, last week, the 78-year-old boxing coach who's become an Instagram sensation with 500,000 followers. Story to follow. That was it, really. I headed to Dubai on the Wednesday, drove through the floods there. I don't know if you saw those, to get to the weigh-in. I met a young man on the card called Tony Curtis, who's 17. He's the youngest licensed pro in the UK, managed by Prince Nazim Hamid. It was an eventful week, but I've got to say, my highlight, apart from presenting, as it always is, and being the headmaster of that event, and shepherding Lauren Alexis and Anthony Taylor and Anthony Crawler was out there with me as well. We had a great night on the Thursday, having a few tequilas together. He's a fantastic guy. We celebrated Rhiannon Dixon becoming world champion, and his brother, of course, who's 12 years younger, young Crawler, billion-dollar Crawler, making his way. I had a fantastic week, but I've got to say, much as it's brilliant to be live at things and bring one's expertise to an event to make sure you're the glue in it, if you like, I was very, very thrilled and delighted for Ryan Garcia on Sunday morning in where I was, because you'll recall this, and I'm going to trumpet this. I said the whole way along, and you said it in fight week, no, this young man is better off focused and training for a fight than all these amateur psychoanalysts out there saying he shouldn't be involved in a fight. Do you remember?
I remember well. Yeah, I remember it well.
And you said as well, very poignantly during the week, and I listened to it, and I think you had a fantastic week yourself in New York, by the way. I listened to all the build-up stuff with yourself and my old friend Ariel Helwani. You were on the money all week, and you were saying, I sat with that guy, and I missed out on my Zoom call with him on media day because it never happened. I would have known as well if I'd had my chat with him whether he was all there or not. And he was all there, and he pulled off the biggest heist in boxing history. There was method behind his madness.
Honestly, I needed you out here with me, Gareth. It was one of those kind of crazy fight weeks where I needed to see Gareth A. Davis in the corner of my eye and talk about every single day and break it down. And you are correct. The minute I got to see Ryan and speak to him face to face, I was like, you're fine. I'm not having all this. You're not fooling me. You're okay. All this fight week antics. You've sold the fight very well. And everyone was like, well, I put the tweet out. Everyone was like, Ade, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you know, we need to look at him. Like, this is a disgrace. The fight's going on. And I made sure I kept all those receipts of people that said that, because I thought he was okay. Look, we'll talk about the weight and the reasons he came in overweight. Again, I thought that was all part of the heist. Yeah. But Ryan catapulted himself as the face of boxing of what he did over the last month or so. You know what fascinated me about him? I went to see him after the fight. Not a mark on him. Not one. He's like a Hollywood superstar that decides to box when he wants to box.
He took Devin Haney's soul in there. As a warrior, as a gladiator, you could just see the change in, or the hubris that came for Bill Haney, who came out today, and I thought was very good today, by the way, when he spoke about it. They took their licks. He gave a lot out there. We wanted to take Ryan Garcia close to death. Ryan Garcia said some dark things as well. But I thought Bill Haney did very well coming out today, and with full respect, and they want the rematch. But what Ryan Garcia did very cleverly, and I've highlighted this both in a Telegraph article and in a couple of interviews I've been asked to do, it reminded me of the Italian playwrights Luigi Pirandello's Enrico il Quarto, Henry the Fourth, in which Henry is an aristocrat. He's an Italian aristocrat. This is absurdist theatre from the 1930s. And Luigi Pirandello was a Nobel Prize winner for literature in the 30s. And he was very involved in absurdist theatre. And his aristocrat fell off a horse and decided afterwards, when he banged his head, that he was Henry the Fourth. And all his family and all his friends went along with it. And they all pretended to be courtiers and they all dressed up. In the final act, he says to them all, you know, I've been having you up all this time. I've been sending you all up. There's nothing wrong with me. I've been doing this deliberately to see how far I could take it. That was Ryan Garcia. It reminded me of that. He took the absurdism of boxing. Now, you and I haven't spoken about this for a long time, and I praise you for your radar last week. And this sport is about having a radar about energy. There's a lot of smoke screens and there's a lot of mirrors in this sport. And we'll come to His Excellency Turki Alşaq at the moment. And he's removing mirrors and smoke screens at the moment in our sport. But Ryan Garcia was using an old trick, which is Shakespeare's fool, talk the madness. But he was actually talking the truth. And because people thought he was crazy, they didn't take him seriously. They didn't take him seriously. He calculated scientifically about coming in heavy because he knew he could hurt Devin Haney. It was all calculated. It was all a ruse, and it was extraordinary. That's why I'm calling it one of the biggest heists in history. The caveat is you can criticize him. You can critique him for coming in overweight, for forfeiting the $600,000 or $1.5 million, whatever it's going to be. But he did it by scientific design. We've got the sweet science and we got the science of design. He beat them mentally and physically, and he deserves to be the biggest name in the sport right now. That's my take on it.
No, and I think you're spot on. I agree with absolutely everything you've said. But what baffles me is that this is a 25-year-old Ryan Garcia coming up with this heist. Like, where does, if this was a 35-year-old experienced pro, I'd say, okay, I understand. But I don't understand where he kind of got the...
I do.
Go on, explain.
He's got 12 million Instagram followers. Since he was 18, he's had this massive following online. His life is the subject of massive scrutiny. He was a father at a very young age. 3 years ago, he disappeared for a year because he was dealing with anxiety. He went away, he dealt with that, and he came back. He knows that every move he makes is watched very closely. He's got matinee idol looks. He could be doing Hollywood movies right now. He could be the new gunslinger. He could be the new Clint Eastwood if he wanted to be. But what he did was, he said, you know what? I'm going to embrace my maverick genius for this, and I'm going to go all the way to the edge of the cliff without jumping off it. I'm going to say all the things I've ever wanted to say, all the outrageous things I've ever thought about. I'm going to say them all. And as he went along with it organically, and one of the things I always said was, Henry and his mother are always there in the background. He's got the love of his family. I've spoken to the family before. I've interviewed Ryan 3 or 4 times, and I get on very well with him like you do. And I see him. And he probably sees you. I know he sees me whenever we speak. He sees me. And that's his gift. He understands energy, and he understood it all the way to the promotion. The big caveat now is the dip he's going to have, which might take him into anxiety and depression after this huge climb. And at the moment, what I see him doing after the fight is embracing Jesus and his faith, and it's really, really healthy. It's an extraordinary story. In fact, you probably haven't read my piece, but I'm going to send it to you after the show so you read it.
Yeah, no, send it to me, because I feel like I'm having this dip down from the high of being ringside Saturday and seeing all the superstars. You know, I love those big events where, you know, and we don't get that many big ones in boxing, but when we do, the whole of Hollywood turns up, and you look, I see Allen Iverson was there, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. I'm on a high, and I'm almost feeling like I'm on this massive come down because it was extraordinary. Honestly, it was extraordinary. And you're right about the weight. I mean, look, I don't know whether to congratulate him on doing it, because look, he's supposed to make weight. But if you know your body can't get further down, why kill yourself to get further?
No, but he had that. Look, once bitten, twice shy. He did it against Tank Davis. He suffered as a result, and he said to himself, I ain't doing that again. I want to see him fight Tank at 147. I'd like to see that fight.
It'd be too big for him, wouldn't it? It'd be way too
maybe,
big.
Maybe, but Tank's so skillful, it would make it a great contest.
Where do you have Ryan then in this mix now? You know that there's 4 kings. So it's Teofimo, Devin, Ryan. I say 5 now, Shakur, Tank. Where does Ryan sort of fit in that 5 then?
Probably 4. Probably. Yeah. I mean, I think the best of them is potentially Shakur Stevenson.
And then he can't get a look in. Can't get a look in right now, can he?
But it doesn't matter about the belts anymore with those 5, frankly. And the responsible man for that, the hero of that, the golden goose for them all, is Ryan Garcia. And I've been saying it for 2 or 3 years. He's the golden goose of that 140, 135 it was, 140, 147 span, if you like, spectrum for American boxers. Because he's the guy you don't need a title belt on the line to fight. It was irrelevant. And he proved that against Devin Haney. The one thing I'd say is he could be called unprofessional for not making the weight. But I think it was calculated and deliberate.
You know, I was at such a good vantage point where I was right next to Derek James. So we were less than a couple of feet away from each other. And I was watching him and his advice to Ryan. And as I was watching Derek, and obviously in the end they get the decision, and went backstage, I said, Derek, congratulations. I embraced him, a big hug, because I said something nice about him on the broadcast. And what I said was this win was massive for Derek James as well. And I was thinking, is this the biggest win for Derek James as a trainer? I was trying to think of Errol's big wins and Jermell Charlo's big wins. I'm thinking, for Derek, this is incredible. He's had a really torrid last 12 months. AJ left, Errol gets beat by Terence Crawford, Jermell Charlo looked to shadow himself against Canelo. this for Derek is a bit of a redemption arc as well.
Yeah, well, he's the perfect personality to fit with Ryan Garcia, this outrageous character. The opposite of AJ, by the way. And that's why Derek and AJ doesn't really work in a way. Derek James allowed Ryan Garcia to be Ryan Garcia. And that's what he does. I think it's the biggest triumph because he was so written off in this fight. All people were talking about, well, the majority of people were talking about, from Eddie Hearn, from other boxers, all they were saying was, this kid's not well, from observers in the media, this kid's not well, we should think about him not fighting. My only thing was, if he's smoking marijuana and he tests positive for marijuana, they're going to pull him, or they're going to fine him or ban him or whatever they do or suspend him. He produced, I think, the shock of the year, the upset of the year so far. I know we're only in April, about to come to May, but it may well be one of the modern victories that we look back on in time. Because when you take the entire story, it just looks so improbable. Because all people were waiting for was Devin Haney to beat him. And I believe Devin Haney would win. And all we were waiting for was King Ryan to implode. But all he did was explode and explode in lights.
Fantastically put. All right, still to come, we are going to discuss Terence Crawford's reported next fight. The pound-for-pound king looks set to move up to 154 pounds and take on champion Israel Madrimov. And we're going to discuss the plans from His Excellency Turki Alşek after he fielded a Q&A with boxing fans over the weekend on Reddit. But up next, we're going to unpack Saturday night's fight between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia and where it leaves both fighters.
Garcia doing a little bit more here in the seventh, and a left hand, and Haney's hurt, and he's down. He's got to be behind on the cards, but he's floored Haney down for the second time in the fight, and Haney can't take the power of Garcia.
King
in New York, Ryan Garcia wins the super fight, and the celebrations begin, and Devin Haney is beaten, defeated for the first time in his professional life, and Garcia with a big upset in New York.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Adil Adipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. Look, rightly so, we're going to focus on Ryan Garcia and what next, potentially the face of boxing, who next for him. He's calling out fighters at 147, 154, 140, 135 pounds. That's what you do when you're the main man. But I just want to quickly get your take on Devin Haney. Obviously, look, came into that fight unbeaten, 31-0, 25 years of age. The comparisons with Floyd Mayweather were being made. He took a bit of a beating. He took a bit of a beating in that fight. Went down three times, could have gone down five or six. I thought the ref helped him out a lot. What does Devin do next? If it's not the Ryan Garcia rematch, where does he go?
I agree with you on the referee, by the way. I was calling him Haney's friend during my broadcast. I was screaming in Dubai airport, who's Haney's friend? Because to be honest, Haney was doing the holding. He took a point away very quickly from Devin, from Ryan. Was it in the seventh?
Yeah, the seventh, the knockdown. Then he took a point from
Ryan. Yeah, which made it a 9-8, and it was clearly a 10-8. I mean, I know he pushed a tiny little chopping right hand in, but he'd already thrown the punch as he stepped in anyway. Devin Haney, he'll want a rematch. Mm. He'll have to fight him at 147. They'll do it at 145 or whatever they do it at. He may lick his wounds and reconsider it, but Bill Haney's come out, his father, and who's very vocal now, talks more than Devin, to be honest. He's a bit like Teofimo Lopez's dad, but good for the sport. Ultimately, good for the sport. And Bill is a very clever, shrewd man. And I kind of want to answer something we didn't really discuss just now, which is there's a Teofimo Lopez fight there for Devin Haney, which Bill thinks he wins easily. I think it's a really tough fight. There's a Ryan Garcia Teofimo Lopez fight there, which is huge as well. And there's Shakur against all of them, all three of them. There's five massive fights there. Now, in the 80s, Addy, slight history lesson. Do you know how many times the Four Kings fought each other? Hagler, Hearns, Duran and Leonard? Nine. They fought each other nine times, yeah? So that we could get that many fights out of these five. And I hope we do. and we're going to talk about His Excellency Turki Alşek in a minute. Those guys have the potential to create a great era in American boxing. Devin Haney's not finished. He's not going to be Mayweather, and that's been scuppered. Mayweather got his escape moment when he wasn't beaten by Jose Luis Castillo, who I had winning by a point that night, by the way. I had him winning by a point, but Mayweather had an ability to steal rounds. Haney nearly had it against Ryan, but his power caught him in the 10th and the 11th, and he couldn't turn it around.
Are you surprised by how much Haney got hit in that fight? I mean, he got hurt from the first round, and I think he done well to recover from that, but he couldn't get out of the way of that left hook. And I know it's a fast left hook, but you do see it coming. He does telegraph it a little bit, and he still...
Well, we don't see it coming because we're not fighting him. I think it's easy to sit in the armchair or the plush VVIP seats that you sit in these days and see those punches coming. But Devin Haney, think about how good he was against Vasyl Lomachenko, twice against George Kambosos, who's not quite at that level, and what he did against Regis Progre. When we watched those four fights in the last year and a half, 2 years, we saw this guy on a pathway to greatness. What Ryan Garcia has is greatness in his power and speed. He doesn't have greatness in his boxing skills because he barely threw a jab. Mm. And when he did throw it, it was like a power shot. Devin Will is good enough, strong enough, wise enough, on a good enough journey. Remember, he was fighting men in Mexico in the bars with glass on the floor at the age of 17 in Tijuana and places like that because he wanted to be a pro. He's a really tough guy and he'll recover from this. But Ryan Garcia simply may have his number.
Maybe. I
think Garcia beats Teofimo. I think Teofimo maybe beats Garcia. You know?
Mm. No, maybe. And that's what we want, right? We want to see these guys mix up. And I actually like the fact that they do lose their unbeaten records because it means that I think they'll take more risk than to fight each other as opposed to protecting that. Oh, if I were to ask you what is the biggest financial next fight for Ryan Garcia out of the options at 154, 147, 140, guys coming up from 135, financially, what is the pay-per-view blockbuster that's out there for him? Is it still Javonte?
For Garcia?
Yes.
God. I think if Top Rank really get behind it, I think Shakur Stevenson is the big fight. I think actually, right now, I agree with you. I think the rematch with Tank Davis is the big one. They could do it at 145. No weight draining clause. Clearly, Garcia was struggling against Tank Davis. I think Tank Davis beats him all day long, even in a rematch, even when he's bigger and stronger, because he's got these springs in his heels where he can get in and out of trouble.
That fight would be enormous.
The rematch would be fantastic next.
Yeah. It'd be enormous. He has called out a certain Conor Benn as well. Obviously, look, we know the issues that Conor Benn's having, but he says he wants to go to 147. He said, I'll come to London and fight you, Conor Benn, at the O2 Arena.
Enormous. Do you know what? As soon as Eddie Hearn and Conor, they should have booked the arena already. They should have booked a stadium for August. They should have booked Spurs or Wembley Stadium. I'm telling you now. Adetun Odulipu. If I've got it right.
Wrong. All wrong, but it's fine. It's okay.
All wrong. I'm trying to do it with passion.
I know.
They could book out Wembley Stadium for July against Conor Benn, sell it now with a media tour, maybe August, and that would sell out Wembley. That's how big a star Ryan Garcia is. The minute he said it, Eddie Hearn should have been on the phone to Wembley Stadium, asking when the weekend was free in the late summer. Conor Benn should have been on every media channel on Britain's morning TV shows going, I'll fight him, I'll run around the block naked, I'll do anything. Because that kid is offering you a path to glory. And it's at 147. I still think he beats Conor Benn.
Wow. Okay. Really?
In front of 100,000 people at Wembley, Ryan Garcia could do a media tour of the UK.
Incredible.
And get 100,000 people at Wembley Stadium. Do you not believe it?
No, I believe it. I 100% believe it. I think he's got something that just... But there were so many kids there, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds. Who are you here to support? Ryan. I was like, wow. So he's got that TikTok generation he's obviously got hardcore boxing fans because of he's fighting the fights, and he's got the casual boxing fans, and he's incredibly good looking. The amount of girls that were there for Ryan Garcia, he literally ticks every box.
I remember when KSI fought fought Logan Paul in Los Angeles, and I was working that week for William Hill, and we were, and Eddie was promoting it. Billy Joe Saunders was on the cards, and Devin Haney was on that card as well.
Yeah.
And Ryan turned up with his brother, sitting next to Justin Bieber, next to Lil Wayne. All these stars were there. It was just an incredible night. It was a similar kind of thing. That crowd, and this is a kid who can cross over. I just mentioned the Four Kings and nine fights. They took those fights, Eddie, more history here, between 1980 and 1989, a span of nearly a decade. Now, we had the first of these fights. When was Garcia and Tank Davis? 2 years ago, a year and a half ago?
Last year, May.
We've got till 2030 for all these guys to fight each other. Mm. That's so exciting. And wait till Turkey Alshake gets his fingernails into that one.
We're going to talk about him because he's already started to get his fingernails into things. Okay, I asked you what's the biggest fight for Ryan, and I think we both agree, Tank. Who do you think he fights next, though? Like, what do you think happens?
I think he'll fight Sebastian Fundora.
At 154 pounds.
It wouldn't surprise me. No, I mean, there was talk of that, wasn't there? There was some rumour about it.
Yeah. I think it's a Devin Haney rematch.
Yeah, it probably is. It's a really big fight.
There's a million pay-per-view buys in its sleep, that one.
Yeah, they've done the seventh inning. They'll go back for extra time, won't they?
Yeah, and I think it'll be fantastic again.
Vegas, baby.
But, although I will say this, New York was fantastic. But you're right.
It is, but there's a tinderbox when you've got a Vegas event based in one hotel. Imagine that MGM Grand's ballroom using that for Radio Road. And I'm not missing the rematch, my friend. I went for a paid gig in Dubai at the weekend, and it was a fun weekend, but I ain't missing the rematch.
No, you need to be there.
Who wins?
Garcia again. When you know you can hurt someone like the way he hurt him in the first round, you know up until that 12th round, he can clip him again. So I'm going to go Garcia again. All right,
it was a beautiful short left hook as well, wasn't it? From nowhere.
So fast. And he's only going to get better with Derek James as well, I think. So, yeah, I think this is definitely the era of Ryan Garcia getting his get back. All right, you're listening to Fighting Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Lodipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. Up next, looks like we're going to see Terence Crawford back in the ring soon. He looks set to move up and take on the champion, Israel Madrimov.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's pack away the Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney chat because we could do this for hours. We're going to talk now about the pound-for-pound king of boxing. That is the one and only Terence Crawford, who we haven't seen in the ring for a long time since he beat Errol Spence. I think that was back in July. He looks set, though, to announce a bit of a super fight for him as he moves up to 154 pounds to capture a belt at another weight class and take on Israel Madrimov, the new champion. I like this fight. His Excellency, Turki Alşaik, the reason this fight is going to happen. I think it will be the first time that Saudi money will push a fight in the States as opposed to fights being in Saudi Arabia. And I guess for His Excellency, this is a coup. I mean, when you're getting the pound for pound number one, shaking hands with you, making a deal happen. I mean, this is all good stuff. He's right here in the Big Apple, New York. I'm going to see him tomorrow. This is exciting times for boxing. Exciting times, though, for Terence Crawford.
Indeed. And as someone who's had the privilege of an audience with His Excellency Turki Alşaik, they have massive plans. I think when I first heard how big their plans were, I wondered how far they would follow through. I think it's extraordinary what they want to do. I think we have a lot to thank His Excellency Turki Alşaik for. I think I talked about smoke and mirrors earlier, which promoters have used in the sport for a very long time. Those of us deeply embedded in the sport have to pick through those very often, as we're doing today. Mm-hmm. But I think it's amazing to see that they're going to invest in events in the UK, in America. The expansion is strong and long. And I know that I asked His Excellency about Oscar De La Hoya being involved. And I remember him saying, "We will miss you, Oscar. Oscar needs to be involved. Al Haymon needs to be involved. This is a paradigm shift in our sport, and it could happen all the way to 2030. Don't miss out on the incredible innovation, unprecedented nature of what they want to do." And I like Madrimov versus Crawford. I do think you're wrong. I think Madrimov, 11-0. Yes, he was a great Asian Games champion, a gold medalist in Jakarta and Tashkent in 2017, 2018. I know he's a middleweight. I know he knocks most people out, even in the amateurs.
Yeah.
What is he? 11 wins, 7 knockouts, 3 decisions. But you look at his decisions, and good boxers have gone the distance with him, Eddie. Rafael Igbokwe. Who else has gone the distance? Emeni Colombo. Eric Walker, they're all decent boxers. Crawford is a boxer, pugilist specialist, as Lennox Lewis would say. And I just think it's going to be Bull and Matador. And the Matador for me is going to be Terence Crawford, even though it's a middleweight.
No, look, you're right. Look, as much as I give Madrimov a chance, because obviously I was lucky enough to be ringside, as you were, to watch him beat Kurbanov and destroy Kurbanov. And I thought elements of a Gennady Golovkin style of just kind of walking you down. And that could be a problem for a few rounds for Terence. But look, Terence will adjust. And I think Terence will become another champion at another weight class. I want to quickly go back to what you were referring to when you mentioned Oscar De La Hoya, just because Oscar tweeted, and I think Oscar is talking about His Excellency here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But Oscar tweeted this: "Nobody, I mean nobody, is coming to my country and or city and think they can take over boxing. I'm a fighter first, and I will fight hard for what I love the most, and that's boxing. Viva!" Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. He's obviously not talking about Eddie Hearn. I can only think that he is talking about His Excellency Turki Alşaik. And it is disappointing because we have seen PBC recently kind of get on board, and they want to do things in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, we know Top Rank Car and Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn. And it does seem as though of the big promoters, Oscar's the only one who doesn't seem to want to work hand in hand with His Excellency. And I don't think it's a case of taking over boxing. It's just making the big fights for the fans.
Oscar's wrong. They're not trying to take over. They aren't saying, you look at what they're doing at the moment. Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk are being paid enormous fees, enormous purses to fight for the undisputed title. They're not getting a percentage of the gate and the takings on pay-per-view. They're getting an enormous amount of money that may make a profit. We don't know yet. That's the normal practice, isn't it? You get a purse and then you get a percentage of the takings. They are investing in the sport to make it better. This is no question of trying to take it over. They're not trying to destroy the sport. You can't destroy it. They might change the shape of it. They might create tournaments in every weight division. They might create a global tournament that works in every weight division, but it will benefit the fighters. It's not about Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy. It's about what's best for the fighters. And that's what you'll hear every other promoter saying. It's not Oscar's territory. He doesn't own Los Angeles. He doesn't own America. He needs to learn to work with all the other promoters, all of them, like they all need to work together. I back what His Excellency Turki Alşek's doing. I see the vision. It may not last forever, but while this is happening, I've been long enough in this sport to know and to be able to see and to have spoken with them that their intentions are good and they're fighter first. It's about the fighters.
No, you're correct. I just want to quickly get back onto topic because we've moved on to Oscar and His Excellency rather than obviously talking about the pound for pound king, Terence Crawford, who is back and again is working with His Excellency to make sure that this fight does happen. In terms of a fight that we had hoped Crawford would take, this isn't the one, isn't it, though? I mean, I'm happy to see Crawford back in action, but no one was screaming for Crawford versus Madrimov.
No one was. It's an unusual pick. It works. I'd like to have seen Terence Crawford against Saul Canelo Alvarez, which I think is a great fight, or David Benavidez. Now, we yet to see him against Jaime Munguia in a week's time, 2 weeks' time, on Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. On Star Wars Day, on what is it, Mexican Independence Weekend, Cinco de Mayo. But you know, he may lose to Munguia. Munguia's a very heavy-handed middleweight stroke super middleweight. We're talking about him in big fights already, but that's the one I'd like to see, Terence Crawford against Canelo, frankly. I think it's an enormous fight. And you know who might make that fight happen? We'll talk about him in the next section.
We are. Perfect segue. You are listening to Fighting Extra on TalkSport 2. Up next, we are going to discuss, as Gareth said there, the plans of His Excellency Turki Alşek, who has been telling boxing fans online what fights he intends to make in the next couple of years. A few big ones. Welcome back to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, we spoke about him for a few minutes in that previous section. Let's kind of give it a full segment now. And I'm talking about His Excellency Turki Alşek, who has spoken to fans of the Sweet Science on Reddit. He invited them to ask him some questions and he gave some very, very good answers. I think that the thing that fight fans wanted to hear was the top of his wish list, Mr. Gareth A. Davis. And he said, This is the top of his wish list. The three fights he would like to make: Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. That could happen. Canelo versus Crawford. A lot of rumors about Crawford moving up to 168 if he gets past Madrimov. And Beterbiev versus David Benavidez. Those are his three.
All three are fantastic. And it makes you wonder whether that step aside scenario may come. If Tyson Fury defeats Alexander Usyk with impunity and subjects him to a beating, which he may do, maybe he's capable of it. I still think it'll be a very close chess match. Maybe they do give Usyk step aside in the two fight deal and we do get Fury and Joshua next. That would be amazing if we did get that. I agree with it. Thank you very much, Your Excellency Turki Alşek. Canelo and Terence Crawford. When Terence Crawford beat Errol Spence, I was one of the first out there screaming and shouting, even though I was shouted down, saying, Terence Crawford now versus Saul Canelo Alvarez. Let's have the great Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard fight. Let's have it. It could be that all over again. Canelo hunting, Crawford looking after himself and outboxing him. I still think Crawford wins that. I think he wins it.
Wow.
I do. I think he wins it. He's got so little mileage on the clock. although he is going to get old at some point during a fight. David Benavidez, man, what a style he's got. Obviously, we want to see him against Canelo, but him against Beterbiev, if Beterbiev beats Bivol, is another massive fight. Let's dream, because Turkey El Sheikh's dreaming and he can make it happen. What a super fan.
Yeah, what's interesting about a couple of those fights as well is, and you guys would probably be eagle-eyed to notice it as well, it includes PBC fighters, which, you know, up until 2-3 weeks ago was a no-no. Obviously, Benavidez, PBC, Crawford, and Canelo. So it shows now that these fights are happening because PBC now have realized we need to get on board with this. There's a lot of money, there's a lot of eyeballs on this event. It'll be stupid for us to kind of be on the outside looking in when clearly this guy is just a fight fan that wants to make some big fights.
Well, you only need to look at what's happened between Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren, and how I sat with both of them, actually. I did that last week. I didn't mention that in my running order. Obviously, we were both at the press conference for the 5 vs 5 and Beterbiev and Bivol, and I had time with both as well. Had an amazing time. When Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn sat with me on the Tuesday and a couple of others, they took turns to talk like they were a double act. It was like Morecambe and Wise together. You know, they were brilliant together. They were like two, like father and son in some ways. They might not forgive me for saying that, but they were. The mutual respect was there. They were talking each other up and in and out. You've sat there with both of them. They really do get on now. And the other promoters, this won't have been lost on them. And Al Haymon, obviously, you know, works away behind the shadows. He's not a public figure, but I have no doubt at all that he's been talking to Turki Alsheikh's team, and they've found common ground. And, you know, he's worked very hard behind the scenes for many years now. Obviously, we know he came from the music industry, was incredibly successful. He's handling a very, very powerful, I think it's a hedge fund. He's an incredibly powerful and clever man, Al Haymon. And if he's really clever, like Len Blavatnik did with DAZN, with His Excellency Turki Alsheikh, the owner of DAZN, Sir Len, they're working together. It's business and it works.
Mm-hmm. How important is it, do you think, that he's talking to the fans, His Excellency? Like, obviously, like, I've been lucky enough to have sat down with him. You've spoken to him as well, but it's been mainly boxing figures speaking to him as opposed to just your general fight fan. I think it's good that he's actually spoke to fight fans. They've addressed some concerns like why no female boxing, smaller weight classes potentially as well. And he's answered all of those things. He said, look, you know, we're looking at the female boxing side of things. We're going to introduce that, some smaller weight classes. I like the fact he's speaking to fans, listening to fans, and I think he's going to implement quite a lot of what the fans want to see.
If you, you know, my motto is don't explain, don't complain, but he's gone the other way completely, which is I'm going to get deeply involved with the fans. I'm going to let them air their grievances. I'm going to listen to what the fans want. He's doing it fighters first and fans. And that is the way to make yourself. He's already, for me, he's a legend in the sport already. A legend and a maverick genius in so many ways. And I've met many members of his team already. And I think, you know, we both have the privilege of going over there. And what they're doing in Saudi Arabia to make themselves not a petrochemical country anymore, but a modern, thriving, vibrant economy is quite extraordinary. And we've witnessed it firsthand, not just in the bubble, but outside the bubble. They're very smart. They want to give people what they want. People are very short-sighted on social media and troll incredibly. You and I don't really do it. You know, you took a guy up on his disgusting comments the other day on social media related to you and I, and you're right to do that. But when you're listening to the fans, even the fact they're talking about a Wembley event between Warren and Hearn and potentially Anthony Joshua fighting the winner of Hergovic and Dubois, it's amazing. It just shows that this person doesn't want to just keep it for themselves. They want to create a shift in the sport for everybody around the world. We'll be going everywhere, I think, in this modern era in the next 5, 6, 7 years, from Vegas to Los Angeles to Japan. You and I will be sitting in the Saitama Super Arena at some point soon with Noya Inoue in a big fight as well, in my view.
Final one on this. I think, and they're two completely different people, but obviously Eddie came with a truckload of money and tried to conquer America, and he realized it was very, very difficult to do so. And the bridges were most certainly put up by the likes of Lou DiBella, Oscar, Top Rank, everyone. But do you think it will be easier for Turkey to break through America? We know it's a completely different beast breaking through the big wigs over here.
He's not trying to conquer America. He's just going to put events on there and he's going to make the big fights happen. Eddie Hearn's got the investment 6 years ago of $1 billion of Perform, the company, of DAZN's money to put on major events. He did half a dozen Canelo events that were very successful. He's growing, he's seeding everywhere around the world. He's growing young fighters. He's learning all the time. He's getting better at operating with people. He's just been given the opportunity to make Deontay Wilder his team captain in the 5x5. Shelley Finkel, Deontay Wilder, and Eddie Hearn all in the same 5 square meters the other day. I loved it. Crazy. Little hug with Shelley, who I've known for 30 years, going back to the Mike Tyson days. It's amazing. And they shouldn't be at arm's length. It shouldn't have been the case that Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren never sat around a table for 14 years. This is not the way you do business with the world. This is a global sport. Great things are happening. Get ready for change and embrace it. I think it's amazing.
I think it's fantastic, and long may it continue, because, again, removing the fact that we work in the sport, we're fans of the sport first and foremost, and these are dream fights that are happening that I couldn't really dream of. And hearing some of those super fights, Canelo Crawford, Benavidez versus Beterbiev, AJ Fury, and many, many more. I think it's a good time for boxing. Gareth, as always, my man, thank you very, very much. From the Big Apple, I say goodbye, and I will see you guys and talk to you guys next week, where we'll be looking back on some other boxing news. Hopefully, some more big announcements coming, by the way, of His Excellency Turki Alşay.
Love and peace, brother.
Cheers, my man.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.